Welcome to Season 2 of Convos with QVIC, a podcast where queer community leaders at the University of Victoria talk about their queer identities, coming out, resources for queer residents and students, and all things LGBTQ+ related. I'm Senior Community Leader Joe, and I'll be your host, along with a wide variety of special guest CLs. Before we get started, we just wanted to acknowledge and respect the Lekwungen peoples on whose traditional territory the University of Victoria stands on, and the Songhees, Esquimalt, and Wasanich people whose historical relationship with this land continues to this day, and also to recognize that we live, work, and play on unceded territory that is not ours. Hello and welcome back to Convos with QVIC. For our 14th episode, we're going to be talking about how it can be exhausting to be a queer activist 24/7 with special guest CLS from the Ring neighborhood.
All right. Hello, S. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Could you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is S. I use they, them pronouns, and I am a non-binary queer-based community leader in the Ring Road neighborhood.
Awesome. And what are we going to be talking about today?
Today, I thought we'd talk about how exhausting it can be to always be engaging in things that could look activistic or things that are sharing your experiences, especially if you're existing outside of queer communities.
And for sure.
How it is okay not to always be pushing the boundaries of what is safe spaces for queer communities.
Totally. Do you want to dive deeper into that?
Yeah. So my experiences was, I was in class, we were talking about gender, and it was just this pressure of everyone sharing their thoughts on it. It's very binary, very existing in the traditional. We're talking about gender because the gender balance favors male. But from the perspective of female is the only gender that is underrepresented. And that very dichotomy that we should be balancing, but is also, there's more to it than that. And it was only an hour-long class, and by the end of it, I was fully emotionally done.
Oh, so fair. Yeah, it seems like a lot. And it seems like a very like heavy topic to have in a class as well.
I wasn't feeling it that day, but it was a discussion class, so I felt the need to contribute my experiences and my thoughts. And sitting back and reflecting on it, it's like there are some days where I don't have to talk about something because I'm the only non-binary person in the room. I'm allowed to just sit back and let the straight people talk without ever pointing out that they're not getting it. My thoughts are important. It is important to feel safe and to get people to understand you so that you can feel respected and understood. But at the same time, you don't have to be a subject matter expert in your entire identity all the time. You don't have to be on all the time. You don't have to work to make the world better. You're allowed to just exist as yourself. And that's enough to be inside yourself and happy as yourself and not make everyone else understanding everything.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. Yeah, not having to be the expert of your own identity, because I haven't thought about it before, but you're so right. I think a lot of straight people, even if they're trying to be woke, they want you to like explain it to them. And it's like, that's not our responsibility. And I think that goes with a lot of minority group, whether queer, BIPOC, etc. Like, it's not the minority's responsibility necessarily to make change. Like, they can be a voice and we need to be heard, but like, it's not just our responsibility.
It's definitely very important to take a check of yourself. It's like, can I have this conversation right now? Can I engage with this person or this group? And if not, that's okay. Don't do it.
Yeah. How do you find those conversations usually go?
It's usually pretty good. Sometimes questions, sometimes not. Most people aren't like aggressive or hateful about it all, but they're ignorant and it feels like you're repeating yourself if you have the same conversation a lot of times.
So what kind of things do you say to them? Like, what's your, let's say they're like, oh, I have no idea what non-binary is. What's your like go-to like explanation?
I haven't had someone who doesn't know what non-binary is.
That's good.
But a lot of like the experiences, they don't know anyone who's non-binary before I like come out to them, so they have some questions about what it's like, but not what the fuck is that.
That's good. That's some progress. Do you find it's more exhausting talking to cishet people about being queer than other queer people?
Yeah.
In what way?
You understand someone if they're in a similar situation mm-hmm. to you. And cishets are in a not similar situation. So that you're not only are you explaining to them your experiences, but you need to do it in a way in which they can understand and not, they might not necessarily relate to it, but that you need to convey the emotional feelings. Where if a queer person, you just, you can explain sort of a situation and a lot of the emotionals can be translated or understood, so it's much less taxing.
Yeah, you don't have to explain a lot of it because a lot of the time they just inherently get it. Yeah, no, I get that. Do you think it was right for the professor to like bring up that conversation, or do you think there was like a better way that they could have gone about that?
I think it's important to talk about the concept mm-hmm. of gender and mm-hmm. like reflecting on the different ways gender affects our society.
Mm-hmm.
I think unfortunately we just went from 2 weeks of online classes to our first week in-person classes, and therefore the first in-person conversation was on gender.
Yeah.
Normally it wouldn't be. So that definitely added a lot to the overwhelming of I'm not talking to people I've seen before. It's for a group of strangers.
Mm-hmm. What class is it, may I ask?
Soci 100B.
Okay, cool.
So it's intro sociology. It's fun.
Yeah. Do you find that there are other ways where it's hard to talk to cishet people about your experience in your life?
I mean, you don't ever come out once as non-binary. Mm-hmm. It's not like a sexuality thing where you can just only the important people in your life needs to know. You'd have to come out to literally everyone repeatedly. Like you see an old friend and they misgender you and you go, ah, fuck, I have to go through this. Or like certain people in this life, I need to come out to them before we hang out next or reach out again. And it's just this constant process, and in certain environments it can be hard. Like I remember trying to find the right moment to do it with my study group for chem. It was just like, when do I talk to these guys? Like, do we do it after class? Do I do it before class? Do I do it in our weekly study sessions? It was sort of just finding the right time for it is stressful and strenuous. Mm-hmm. And I haven't found a way to make it feel natural yet. It always feels like a clunky insertion.
That's fair.
And now we're talking about me.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. You are changing the conversation to be about yourself, and that for certain people is not an easy task.
I get that. That's super uncomfortable for me, but it's important. Even though it is uncomfortable, it's super important. I actually, in my Spanish class last week, it was just our conversation class, and the most like cishet white boy spoke up, and he was like, hey, before we start the class, can I know everyone's pronouns in Spanish so that I don't misgender everyone? And I was, look at this little cishet white boy go. I was so proud. It was so sweet. But yeah, it was really nice. And I'm assuming that he is cishet. He did use he, him pronouns. So that's kind of just my assumption. But the fact that he wanted to ask everyone their pronouns was like super cool and super refreshing.
By the other token, I think is, yes, pronouns are very important, especially in queer communities, but it's also that not being on the ball. I remember my TA was non-binary and just completely forgot to add pronouns to introductions for a class I took last semester. And it was just like, da-da-da-da-da. And it gets to me. I'm literally the last one, and you give my pronouns because I'm like, y'all ain't misgendering me. And the TA is like, well, fuck. And we all make mistakes. So
exactly.
Just because you feel the need to always be on the ball, it's not your job.
Totally. And especially in like classes, when you're going to, like, you're starting over every 4 months when you're in this, like, in the university lifestyle. And so it's like you're reintroducing yourself to a whole, like, hundreds of people, like, every 4 months, and you do it over and over again. It's not like you're in a corporate job and you start the job and you give your pronouns and then you're good to go. It's like a process that you have to do again and again. And yeah, it can be exhausting.
Yeah. And then you come out and it's like, now I have to retroactively go back to how many years of connections. And it doesn't have to be a fast process.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we slowly meet people, we can slowly expand the circle of people who know us.
Mm-hmm. Are there any like self-care things you do that when you're like kind of exhausted from coming out or explaining your identity or that kind of stuff that you go and do? Like, is there something that you talk to? Is some kind of ritual you have? Reading a book or something?
Depends on the type of exhaustion. Like, I can get very exhausted with, like, when I was super exhausted after having to do that gender conversation, when I found a non-binary friend, it was just like, in one sentence, I could explain what the fuck happened to me.
Yeah.
And they just understood instantly the emotions I had gone through.
Totally.
And we could just talk and I could relax and go, okay, someone who gets it and it's fine.
Yeah.
And then with the coming out and stuff, it's just stepping into my secure social circle. where everyone just knows me and not having to be on my guard and have that relaxation into myself.
Totally. Are there some non-binary people in your life that, like, you look up to that, like, help you with that kind of stuff?
I don't know about look up to. I've got some that I appreciate the advice they can give me, having spent longer out and in the community.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're my friends and equals. I don't really look up to them.
Totally.
I don't have that kind of relationship with them. It's like, you're my equal. You have strengths in this area and more experience. Cool. At the same time, like.
For sure. Do you have, like, any advice for people who are thinking that they might be non-binary but don't really know how to go about, like, telling people?
You don't have to tell your closest friends first.
Okay.
I did not. I started with one friend over the summer. I texted them and told them, and they were super excited for me.
Nice.
And then I think I came up to my team, which was mostly strangers.
Yeah. Which is, that's really brave. But I respect that, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the only person on my team that I knew beforehand was a returner, but we weren't close friends.
Yeah.
We just knew each other tangentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest was new staff who didn't know anyone.
Yeah, no, that must have been very scary and exciting and all that.
Was. And then I think I shifted my pronouns on my name tag during training, and people slowly figured it out.
Smart. Yeah. Super smart.
Yeah, manipulate social situations so you don't have to come out. That's definitely good advice.
I like it.
When I came out to my parents, I got my mom. She was helping me grab my stuff for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I put up some name change posters when I changed my name, and I have my new name and pronouns. I just let my mom walk into that and find that out and figure that information. So I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And she just could process the information on her own. And I got her to tell my dad, and both of them told their respective parents. So the only person I told myself was my brother, who I told a long time ago, because he's my confidant for most things.
Totally. How do you choose S as, like, your new name?
I sort of just went, I don't want my name anymore. It doesn't fit who I am. And I was just grasping around. It's like, well, I don't mind going by S. And it was sort of just I'll just toy with that. Yeah, it sounds kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been signing emails with it just because it's shorter
than
my four-lettered name. And so I just fucking went for it as sort of a temporary thing. And I really like it. So it's just sticking now.
Super cool.
Sort of like, if you're not sure and you have something that's kind of okay, just try it. Change your name. Try it.
I love it.
I haven't changed any of my legal stuff or my one card or any of that. But it's very easy to change your name socially.
Thanks for listening to Convos with QVic. Make sure you come back to check out our next episode. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, please let anyone on the QVic staff know, either in person for UVic residents at our events, which are run from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sundays in the RUG, or message us on our Facebook or Instagram pages. See you around campus.